We are delighted to have Cynthia Tucker on the line. My name is Steve. My co-host is Larry. This is WSLR 96.5 Low Power FM in Sarasota, Florida, your community radio station. And Larry is going to introduce you.
Good morning, Cynthia. Please, welcome to the Surreal News here in Sarasota.
Thanks, Larry.
And we also have in the studio another guest who's going to be joining us later on, a community activist whose name is Mary Mack. And Mary, you're welcome to ask any questions or make commentaries as we go along Cynthia. And Cynthia Tucker was born in Monroeville, Alabama. She's an American syndicated columnist recognized with a Pulitzer Prize for commentary in 2007, quote, for her courageous, clear-headed columns that evince a strong sense of morality and persuasive knowledge of the community. She was a Pulitzer nominated finalist both in 2004 and 2006, and I've really appreciated your commentary on PBS and CNN over the years too, Ms. Tucker.
Thank you.
She was born in Monroeville in the age of segregation and did not attend an integrated school till she was a junior in high school, and then attended Auburn University, where she majored in English and journalism and wrote for the student newspaper. And you've been also a Nieman Fellow at Harvard University.
Yes.
And were promoted to your current position as editorial page editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and you write a blog for them as well.
I do. And let me make one small correction.
Yes.
I left my job as editorial page editor.
Okay.
And now I'm a Washington, D.C.-based columnist.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So how does that change for you? Because I think of you as being a commentator very much on both national and international affairs when you were as the editor of the editorial page. Is your focus different now?
No, my focus has just become more firmly concentrated on national and international affairs. When I was editorial page editor living in Atlanta, part of my job was to focus intensely on local events as well. And obviously, now that I'm in Washington, I don't have that local Atlanta or Georgia focus anymore, although I try, since I'm working for the Atlanta newspaper still, I try to make national affairs make sense for local readers. I try to write columns that explain to local readers what health care reform or immigration reform or energy legislation would mean for them.
I'm curious, and this is just on more of kind of your own perspective on things. I've, over my career, spent and did my college in Washington, D.C., and I guess I have a better feel for it than a lot of people who, you know, live in real places in the world. And I'm wondering if when you were editorial page editor, you spent a lot of time in Washington anyway. But
yes.
Has your perspective changed now that you're actually living in Washington? And do you have some message back to those of us in the provinces who are looking at this through the looking glass more and more as time goes on?
Well, yes, I have this observation. If you think Washington seems dysfunctional from a distance, it's even worse up close.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Boy, is this a dysfunctional place.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues that seem kind of pretty dysfunctional from here. Steve has a question for you.
All right, so one of your blogs here is the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I just want to ask you, there's a late-breaking news item we reported. Did you see John Sheehan, the retired U.S. general, what he said?
No, I did not. I missed that.
All right, he said we shouldn't have gays in the military because the Dutch botched Bosnia in 1995 because it had gays in the Dutch military. And he said that in the Senate Arms Committee, where he was testifying.
Well, that first of all, let me say that it does not surprise me terribly that an older military official would be opposed to having gays and serving openly in the military, while a number of distinguished retired officers have come out in favor of having gays serve openly. If you look at polls, you will see that there's quite a generation gap in terms of giving gays and lesbians full civil rights in this country. The older you are, the more likely you are to be opposed to giving gays full human and civil rights. Among many younger soldiers serving currently, having gays serve openly is simply not an issue because they know too many of their fellow troops are gay, and it's not a big deal. They know they serve honorably with valor, and so it's not a big deal with them. As far as I don't remember any particular incident in Bosnia that went poorly for the Dutch. But the idea that anything that went poorly for the Dutch in Bosnia was because they had gay soldiers is simply ludicrous. Every major military in the world except ours has, every major Western military, let me put it that way, except ours, has gays serving openly without any problem. And that includes the Israelis, by the way, who are well known as one of the world's most respected and fiercest fighting machines. It hasn't been a problem for the Israelis, and it wouldn't be a problem for us.
You know, this, the change in perspective and outlook can happen. We, before you came on, were reading a news report from Nepal and Kathmandu, where the government is now putting a large amounts of money into a campaign to attract gay couples to celebrate their honeymoon in the Himalayas, and are actually establishing a location where they would like gays to come to be married. This is a place where not that long ago gays were bashed and beaten publicly in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe economics drives everything, but in this case their need for tourist dollars has led them in this direction, and the social change has come right along.
Well, the world is changing. There are still some places where
Uganda.
gays and lesbians are treated horribly. Uganda at the moment comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not surprise me that tourism leaders in Kathmandu have discovered that being an attractive place for gays to celebrate their marriages might do wonderful things for them economically. And as the local folks see that and discover that gay couples are not the spawn of Satan, don't have horns, changes will occur on their home front as well.
All right, let's move on a little bit. And first, you are speaking next week at the Forum Truth here in Sarasota, and we thank you for coming. That's going to be Holly Hall, 7:30, next Wednesday. That's the 24th of March. Now, we're a low-power FM. We're not allowed to talk about cost. There is a charge for that for the public. We're not going to say what that is.
Okay.
Now, on the website, though, it doesn't say you're the topic that you're going to be talking about. What are you going to be talking about on Wednesday?
I'm going to talk about politics. That's my forte. That's my strong suit. Although I often talk about cultural affairs as well through the racial prism, I will probably talk about don't ask, don't tell, and the need to change that policy because that's both political and cultural. But mostly, I will be talking about Washington dysfunction, why that this is, has become such a dysfunctional place, but also why that dysfunction is holding up some of the huge, solving some of the huge issues that need to be solved. I am going to try to put the Obama agenda in some perspective. By the time I get there, with any luck, health care reform will have passed.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
So I can talk about that lengthy process and why it took so long, but why it was important to move that forward. But I'm also going to talk about other huge issues that are out there confronting the nation. Climate change being one, immigration reform being another, and of course the economy, and why the economy is in some ways worse than we know. that there are structural changes taking places on the employment front that our leaders in Washington need to be dealing with. But at the moment, because of extreme partisan bickering, they don't seem to have the capacity to deal with.
We want to invite people then to come and hear this, and we'll be there as well.
That's 7:30 Holly Hall next Wednesday.
Holly Hall next Wednesday. Would you be willing to talk to us a little bit about the Supreme Court this morning?
Absolutely.
Well, the Supreme Court talk about things being dysfunctional in Washington seems, at least to me and maybe to some others, that they're interpreting the law through the filter of religion and the more than they are through the Constitution, or at least through their own cultural values, more than through the Constitution. And I'm wondering if you have kind of a sense of how where the credibility of the Supreme Court is going, whether people are looking at that the way maybe they're looking at the presidency, which is being torn down more and more, that the Supreme Court is kind of losing its bearings as well and its credibility with the American people.
Well, I think the Supreme Court has been losing its credibility for some time. And while we might view the Supreme Court as historically having been an institution that was above politics, that's just not so. The court has always been steeped in politics. And I would argue that through the 1960s Civil Rights Revolution up through the 1973 Roe versus Wade ruling, the Supreme Court was losing credibility with the right. The right wing viewed that as the court making law. That's when you started to hear a lot of negative descriptions of the Supreme Court from conservative politicians. Well, with the 2000 ruling, which handed the presidency to George Bush, the court started to lose credibility with the left as well.
Fascinating.
And I think its credibility is going to continue to erode. It has made an extraordinarily controversial ruling on political financing recently, where it gave corporations the same rights as human beings, said that corporations had free speech rights. I had never thought of money as being the same thing as speech, but that is basically what the Supreme Court has said. And now we have an even more interesting development that I have not seen before, and I think may be historically without precedent. And that is that Virginia Thomas, Clarence Thomas's wife, is starting a very conservative political organization. And that strikes me as unseemly. You know, I'm a good feminist, and I believe that women, even if their husbands are powerful figures, should be able to do their own thing. Well, I believe that having a Supreme Court justice's wife openly involved in politics will further erode the credibility of the court.
But the right wing has no respect for boundaries in any event. I mean, this does not surprise me in that the general respect for institutions and for protocol has just been trampled by, as you say, by the infusion of politics into every corner. It's like mm-hmm. branding. It's like you can't watch television without seeing some product tattooed on.
Absolutely.
And so the Washington just feels like it has become super saturated with politics, and that there are no more neutral zones where you can have dialogue or you can try to move something through that would help everybody.
Politics and money. I think the thing that has changed in Washington, which is historically different, is the influence of lobbyists. They're every corner, every issue, even issues that you and I don't normally think about, are important to some moneyed interest out there somewhere. And they have already flooded the zone, as it were, with lobbyists and with campaign contributions to politicians. That's why we haven't gotten financial reform. You would think that after this huge financial crisis, the utter collapse of Wall Street, and the only reason the financial system remained functional at all is because they were propped up with taxpayer money, bailouts, you would think after that there would be no argument about financial reform. Yeah.
Let me just interrupt to say for our audience, you're listening to WSLR, Low Power FM 96.5 in Sarasota, and our guest is Cynthia Tucker, the Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. We're very pleased to have you and to be having this conversation.
Can I cut in here?
Steve wants
one of your blogs said, the Cheneys are the new McCarthys. Can you explain that?
Well, certainly. Have you listened to Dick Cheney lately? Or
I'm surprised
Liz?
Steve remembers McCarthy.
Well, you know, Joe McCarthy is historically famous for his red baiting during the era of Soviet communism. But even worse, he went around accusing innocent people, patriotic Americans, of being traitors. He accused all, you know, any number of people of having communist sympathies, of being secret communists and plotting against the United States. And people's careers and lives were ruined because of what Joe McCarthy did. Well, Liz Cheney has started an organization that has decided to denounce any attorney who represents terror suspects in court. And this is what attorneys, of course, are supposed to do. Our Constitution says that all people, first of all, are innocent until proven guilty, and secondly, that they deserve legal representation. And many of the people we locked up in Guantanamo hadn't done anything. There was no evidence against them, and some attorneys who now work for the Department of Justice represented them in court and represented them successfully, by the way. And Liz Cheney decided that they should be accused of treason for that.
Yes, she even called them the Al-Qaeda 7.
Yes.
What's interesting is she said the government should make their names public. Well, they're already public. You can Google them, find them out anyway.
But, of course, she wanted them to be treated as Joe McCarthy treated people during the 50s. You know, out them, harass them, denounce them, accuse them of treason, and ruin their lives.
Do you think that, and Kenneth Starr came out and took issue with her, which was amazing.
Yes.
That there are cracks in the right wing? Is there do people feel that, or observers like yourself feel like the Republican Party is going to be harmed or hurt by these extreme positions, or is there, as the Republicans in Congress would say, this is where the American people are?
Well, of course the American people aren't there. Oh, for heaven's sakes. I would be much more fearful and much more depressed if I thought that that's where the American people were. But, you know, the Republicans in Congress have managed so far mostly to keep up a very united front in opposing anything President Obama stands for. Despite that, there are deep fissures, deep cracks throughout the Republican Party and throughout the conservative base. One group is running after Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Business interests are appalled by Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck. One group thinks that the Republicans ought to have purity tests. Others think that purity tests smack of fascism. So there are deep fissures among Republicans at the moment. And I think the party is in trouble over the long term because this is a country that is becoming increasingly diverse, and yet the Republican Party turns off and runs off members of minority groups.
What do you think happened that silenced Olympia Snow? There were she and maybe a couple of others looked like they were going to soften the opposition the Republicans had. And yet, very quickly, she turned the corner and joined the crowd and has not been heard from nationally, at least, since.
Intense pressure from Republican leaders in the Senate. That's what happened to Olympia Snow. But I think that there, again, I think that the fissures are still showing up. Scott Brown has refused to walk so far. Scott Brown, who was elected to the seat that Ted Kennedy held from Massachusetts, and his election as a Republican, of course, shocked Democrats throughout the country. But Scott Brown was elected because he ran a campaign promising bipartisanship. And so far, he has refused to walk in lockstep with the Republicans, filibustering everything that the Democrats propose. So I think he's a man to watch.
Well, we'll hope so.
All right, Cynthia. We're smack out of time, and you just whet our appetites. It's just the way you articulate these issues is fabulous, and we just want to thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
All right, so Wednesday, everybody, Wednesday night at Holly Hall at 7:30, go to the Forum Truth and hear much more of Cynthia Tucker. And then, Cynthia Tucker, I just want to invite you, if it comes up that people want to know where they can get local news, WSLR 96.5 LPFM. You know, we spent a lot of effort to get on the air. You know, it was hard to get this radio station going in the first place. Feel free to mention us if people wonder where they can get local news.
All right.
70% of the market and 90% of the funding for local news comes from Clear Channel here. We're it. There's nobody else here in this area where people can get their news. So feel free to mention that. Hedrick Smith was here. We wanted him to mention it, but he didn't. So we're hoping maybe you will, because the audience you're going to hear is going to be just craving for this kind of information. And we're trying to put it on this radio station and this show because we're nonprofit.
I will keep that in mind.
I do appreciate that. Everybody, Holly Hall on Wednesday, Cynthia Tucker, big fans here.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.
Bye-bye.
We are so lucky to have her on this. She just articulated things, Larry, just so well.
Wonderful.